Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now Jesus' disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked, and you would have been given living water." The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." God's word for God's people.
God is still speaking.
Thank you.
Jesus has gone rogue. He's off by himself, worn out, thirsty, in the middle of the day, in Samaria. You know Samaria, that first century space between Judea and Galilee, the land where people built a shrine on Mount Gerizim and claimed that this shrine, not the Jerusalem temple, was the proper place of worship. And we thought disputes over where and how we really ought to worship were new. That crazy notion, worshiping somewhere besides the temple in Jerusalem, was enough to make the Jews of that day despise Samaritans. So much so, in fact, that Jewish troops destroyed that shrine at Mount Gerizim in the year 128 before the Common Era. Not surprisingly, both peoples continued to see the other as outsiders and enemies. Yet Jesus himself, a Jew, had to go through Samaria on the way from Judea back to Galilee. Had to. If you check a map of this area in Jesus' day, you can see that the most direct route from Judea to Galilee is indeed through Samaria. They were walking, remember? Direct is good. The shortest distance between two points is indeed a straight line. Ah, yes, but this is also where word studies come in handy. For the Greek word translated here into English as "had to" in this fourth gospel is almost always associated with the notion that this is God's intention. The teller of this good news may also then be saying Jesus had to go through Samaria because that is the way God intended Jesus to go. In that case, Jesus had to go through Samaria because it was the best route, literally and figuratively, because it was the best route both geographically and theologically. For you see, God's good news, thanks be to God, is never bound by our preconceived notions of who, what, or where it can be proclaimed, encountered, received, or shared. So it was in Samaria that Jesus went rogue this time. He was thirsty and had plopped himself down by a well, Jacob's well, no less, but had no bucket with which to draw the water. The disciples were off on a grocery run, so Jesus was by himself. While Jesus was sitting there, an unnamed Samaritan woman came to the well to draw some water. Unnamed. Women are so frequently unnamed in the Bible. There are lots of reasons for this, none of which I care for. Yet, even though her name has been lost in the telling, this woman is most definitely an outsider's outsider, an unnamed female of an enemy people. Jesus is thirsty and asks the woman to give him a drink. First century hearers and eventually readers of these words would have known this is outrageous and scandalous for two reasons. First, it was unheard of for a Jewish man in that day to initiate a conversation with an unknown woman. Similarly, a Jewish teacher of that time, always male, did not engage in public conversation with a woman. And second, Jews did not invite contact with Samaritans in any way, shape, or form, even to ask them for a drink of water. Jesus has most definitely gone rogue, for what unfolds is a dialogue between a male Jewish teacher and a female Samaritan that consists of 13 conversational exchanges, one of the longest in this entire gospel. Thirst and water. Water from a well and water of the Spirit are what draw these two unlikely people together. Jesus and this unnamed Samaritan woman, it turns out, actually need one another. Jesus has no bucket to draw any water to quench his physical thirst. Nor does Jesus have a Samaritan witness to tell the good news of God's presence and power to share God's living water with the Samaritan people. The Samaritan woman needs the teaching Jesus offers and the living water within that teaching that quenches every soul thirst imaginable to become in her a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. So Jesus offers the living water of the Spirit to an unnamed Samaritan woman. Now, if I were texting this point to you today, I would have to follow it with an OMG. God's grace, the very water of life, water so much deeper and wider than that of Jacob's Well or the Sea of Galilee or the Irish Sea or the Mammoth Hot Springs or the Atlantic Ocean. God's grace, God's living water is available and freely given to, are you kidding me? A female outcast? Why, that must mean God's grace, this living water, is available and freely given to, well, to everybody. Even you. And even me. Even a Muslim woman in a full burqa. Even a Hindu man on Wall Street. Even an indigenous American child living in Minneapolis. Even a Haitian refugee forging a new life in Greater Boston. Even a transgender teen in Missouri. And the list never ends. Because God's grace, this living water, is wild, untamed, unbounded, undeterred, searching, slaking, soaking, and desperately in need of those who thirst for and will witness to its life-giving power. We gather here on the first day of this week to offer the blessing of living water in baptism and to receive living water through our gathering and our worship, so we can go from here to where we have to go, to be witnesses to this life-changing, never-ending living water. Where I have to go is not the same place you have to go. The Samaritan woman became a witness to this Messiah, this anointed one, this giver of living water to her own people. Her encounter with Jesus changed her forever, and she had to tell others what she now knows to be true. We, a gathered community of disciples and witnesses this day for this same Jesus, who is still going rogue, by the way, the one who still brings life and offers us grace, amazing grace, with reckless abandon. This God for us, Jesus the Christ, we gather here to draw water, to have our soul thirst quenched. And we are sent forth to bring living water to unexpected places in and beyond our everyday circles. Do those who know you have any reason to expect you to bring them living water? Might you be an unexpected bearer of living water and good news to someone you will meet for the first time today or this week? Unexpected people, unexpected places, cubicles, boardrooms, hallways, classrooms, the beach, Stop and Shop, a hospital room, a park, interfaith social services, an alley, Dunkin' Donuts, sidewalks, Rosie's Place, a gas station. God is still speaking and quenching thirst in this hour and in this day. Water, river, spirit, grace, wash over us. Wash over us. As we have come together this day in worship and celebration of the baptisms of Maria and Lynn, by offering them God's living water of limitless grace and blessing, may we trust ourselves to this water, this living water, not trying to comprehend it, but immersing ourselves in it, receiving its blessing and its call, that we too might learn to live in and witness to God's wild, untamed, unbounded, undeterred, searching, slaking, never-ending, soaking spirit of love. Give us a drink of this water, this living water, O God. And then, O God, trouble that water for us, so that when we wade into it with fear and trembling and faith all at once, we might take your living water of liberation to yet another unexpected, promised place or people. May it be so. Living water-giving God, may it be so.